Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This Junkies podcast is brought to you by Alarm.com, the official smart home security partner of your Washington Capitals. Every day, millions of people trust Alarm.com to protect their homes and businesses.
Interesting story that Drab put in our notebook about public restrooms. When we're pressed into action and have to go number two,
that's just
only emergency. In the most dire situation.
But it's happened to all of us. It's happened, even the best of us.
It has happened to everybody.
I try to avoid it.
Like the plague.
I used to make sure if they had those covers that you put on the toilet seat, that I would use that.
You would use that big old thing?
Yeah.
It's just about old school toilet paper.
And then clearly I wipe it down now if I don't use one of those things.
Vigorously.
I wiped it down the other day, but didn't do a good enough job. And when I sat down, it was moist. Oh. It was the grossest feeling. And
that's on you.
By the way,
you do a better job.
That was here at work.
Oh.
So that meant I had to go hours before I could go home and correct that situation. What do you do? I did a wipe around. And I sat down, and it was still moist.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was screwed.
But there are some people that don't even sit down. They squat.
Real.
Yeah, they hover.
They're hovers.
I've never, ever considered that.
And there's a study
out. Your mother
didn't
teach you to hover?
Never been taught to hover.
I thought every mother taught their kids to hover.
No, I don't think so.
Other people that hover wipe. I'm not one of those people.
I just
some people kind of stand up.
I just got too much at weight at this point to hover.
Yeah,
it's just too hard.
No hovering.
Once I start going down, there's no coming up.
Right. Yeah, it's called irrecoverable.
You're not doing squats.
Yeah,
I don't even do squats in a gym, let alone on top of a toilet.
In other words, if that toilet seat wasn't there, I would go crashing to the ground.
But there are a lot of people that are worried about, you know, catching a disease, something like that. And there's been a study about it, about germs. And Dr. Freestone, who's a clinical microbiologist, says that human poo does
from
carry.
Where? Does it say where he's from?
From Leicester, I believe. So that's England, right?
Okay. He roots from Leicester City.
This is definitely a Danny Vail story. It's a little drabby
go-to. It's
actually from the New York
Leicester
Post. From the New York Post. It says that it does carry a wide range of pathogens. But what they're saying is that, first of all, most of the diseases are from hand-to-mouth transfer of bacteria.
Right.
That you're not just going to get it from sitting down, most likely. And that you do have an immune system, which is highly effective.
Right.
Which is what I've always stood by.
Yeah, that's what
I'm pretty much too lazy. I'll sit down. I'm not going to grab that thing.
Wipe it down. You use the paper if they have it.
Oh, because it's just gross to be on, as you say, like a moist toilet seat. Are you kidding me?
It's the worst. I think it happens to women a lot, like in the middle of the night.
But they actually say that
women at home
hovering over the toilet may actually be the worst thing that you could do.
Oh, really?
Why?
Because I guess if you're going number two at the same time while you're working your hips, your glutes, your backs, your abs, you become extremely tense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll pinch it off at the wrong time. It's not a good look.
And then it often requires you to push or bear down slightly.
Yeah. You get a hiatal hernia.
Frequent pushing or bearing down to go actually number one contributes to pelvic organ prolapse.
Well, this is just ridiculous. This is ridiculous. It's not happening
to anyone. Isn't that Arizona's mantra, bear down? It's other football field.
Definitely, yeah.
And the stress of having to hover even slightly above the toilet seat can mean you don't empty your bladder properly, so that's just
dealing
with number one.
That's very important for me.
Well, I guess chicks. No one's really. I guess if you're going. This is gross. I guess if you're doing two, that one happens.
And by the
absolutely.
Way,
absolutely, right? Yeah. Every time,
yeah, it's just, I mean,
they go together.
It's never just a two.
Yeah, you can never just deuce.
You just can't.
How come it always?
It's weird, right?
This
right?
is the worst conversation we'll have all week.
I mean, we've talked about every angle of pooping. This is one aspect of it we have never touched.
I mean,
on.
They go hand in hand.
It's like a gift from God if you could go down there and you could just. You could just
I don't think it's humanly possible.
How about this?
I really don't.
So they did a study comparing 70.
Why is
okay,
it so funny?
75% of the people when they're going number two use their phones.
Oh, okay,
they're on their phones.
It's
only 75%. But
you know how many Words with Friends games I've lost? I'm sitting on the
Turds with Friends.
But the doctor actually said the best bit of advice. If you're concerned about catching something when you're
concerned.
On a public toilet, is don't use the phone, because they say that research has shown that the phone is actually 10 times dirtier than the toilet seat.
Really? I believe it. I totally believe it.
Well, also, I got to imagine there's like particles floating in the air, and you get it on your hands, and you get it
right.
on your phone, and then boom,
oh,
there
well,
you
yeah,
got your transmission.
No, it's funny. Is
every
that
flush, according to this, that microbes will land all over the toilet
all
seat.
All over everywhere. Yeah.
If you're a P1 and you're playing Money Metal Cakes on Words with Friends, you automatically know he's sitting down on his throne, unleashing a deuce.
Not every time.
Nah, that's if you're playing him at like 11:30 or 12, because isn't that your routine?
Usually,
at home?
Yeah, like 11 to 11:30 is the real sweet spot.
Right,
sweet spot. I mean, it is what it is. What can I do?
Well, you have 4 or 5 cups of coffee. It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, well, I'm just a regular person, and I'm not one of these weirdos. Like if I were to go to Aruba for a week or 3 days, that I can't actually use the bathroom there. Hello. Doesn't matter what country I'm in. Doesn't matter if I've missed a time zone or two. Your boy's going to use the bathroom. I'm not going to wait a week like JP and come back and squeeze out a rabbit pellet. It's not going to happen.
All right, let's go to Grant real quick in Orlando. Grant, what's up, buddy? Oh. You're on the Jux.
Oh, beloved Jux. I saw some evidence of squatting and missing at Tropicana Field yesterday in the bathroom there.
That's not good.
It was not a good experience, other than Max Scherzer, who's a baller and a warrior. You know, the guys they didn't have any life. They looked lost out there. They looked befuddled. And I don't know it's that they miss Dusty so much as they miss a clubhouse presence like Jason Wirth. Is there any credibility to that take?
Hmm. I mean, that's all speculative. I mean, maybe. But is that why Bryce Harper is hitting 215?
No, I don't think so.
No, and I don't think that's why they're missing the base pass and making really boneheaded mistakes. I mean, they do have a history of that. You pointed that out, but it was really bad yesterday.
Yeah, but it's not. But you're pointing to two things, right? The difference in manager and then no Jason Wirth. But you're not really making mention of all the injuries, all the games they've missed because of that. That's really, I think, ultimately the biggest thing.
But they did have injuries last year.
Yeah, but not like this.
Well, they lost Adam Eaton for the season. He was supposed to be their starting center fielder. They lost Zimmerman.
I think
times.
You could pretty much just document it in
I
terms of man
it's
games.
More, but they lost guys last year.
Yeah, but more this time, and I think it's affected guys like Bryce. He doesn't have the protection around him. That may be what started the slide, and then it gets into your head, and then it just becomes impossible to dig out of.
I'm not going to blame the Nats' woes on missing Jason Wirth. I don't think that's
no.
I don't think that's the missing piece to the puzzle here.
Yeah, and I'm not sophisticated enough to know if Davey's pushing all the right buttons, but I know that Rizzo comes on, and maybe it's just, you know, just because he's so positive, but all
or he's defensive.
All he does is just jock Davey's moves and the little subtle things that he's doing to kind of tweak the lineup, you know, given all of the, you know, the injuries he's had to deal with.
I give
the different
Davey,
guys they're shuttling in and out. All the different guys they brought up from the minors.
I give him 2 thumbs up just because he couldn't stop wearing Caps gear during the Caps run. That's my guy. Clap him up. Davey Martinez.
Actually, an article.
Big old Caps fan.
In the Post this morning about how they're getting such good production from guys they didn't expect that Adam Eaton's not even an everyday player right now. Now, part of that is because they want to kind of, you know, ease him back into things.
But it's because of Juan Soto.
But largely it's because of Juan Soto.
Yep.
What he's doing.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Join us right now to fill us in on the Nats. She covers them for the Washington Post. Beat reporter Chelsea Janes joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Now, before we get into the whole hitting thing, as I said in the last break, it's going to be my first question for you. What's going on with Strauss? I haven't heard anything lately. Am I just out of loop? Am I just missing this? Or I thought this was just going to be a quick little 10-day little thing and we get him back out there.
I don't think it was ever going to be 10 days, but he's throwing, which is really good. And they left him behind on this road trip, which is actually a good thing because it means that they're going to sort of let him continue to ramp up at home and make moves. But I think he's fine. I think it's post All-Star break for sure, but I think that's actually sort of what they expected. And I think that's still an okay thing. I think that's sort of what he thought it would be. And he was going to hit the DL at some point this year. So better now than September.
Right. That's just what he does. All right. So let's talk about the hitting then. And JP went through some of the numbers. Last night was another tough one. I think, as he said, six shutouts, in the last,
16 games.
16 games, seven in the month of June. And I just went through the lineup with the guys. And I'm trying to stay optimistic and not just crush them because the lineup is just too good to continue to hit like this.
I think that's definitely true. I think they can still get crushed for the last 2 days. It wasn't really something that should happen to this team. They can say Blake Snell threw well and Eovaldi threw well, but it's not Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw. This team should be shut out by those guys at most, So I think it was just kind of a weird series for them. I think they were really tired after Sunday night and never really got it going. I don't think Gio's start really helped. I think that put them in a deficit that night I'm not going to say they started, throwing away at bats. I don't think that happened at all, but I definitely think there's a psychological impact to being down 6-0 in the second, knowing, you've just climbed back from a deficit like this, 18 hours ago. So I think it was just sort of like a perfect storm in Tampa, but, obviously symptomatic of what's been going on. And like you say, they're better than this. It's going to change, but we've been saying that for almost the whole month that it hasn't. So, you can be frustrated or worried. It's sort of reasonable.
Joined by Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post. Let's talk about some of the specifics. Bryce Harper, we get some signs of life every now and then. He had the three doubles game, but still hitting under 220. What's going on with Bryce?
I think there are big signs of life, just even in the way that he has carried himself for the last week. It's like somebody pulled a weight off him. He looks like totally different. He looks kind of like old Bryce again and a little, peppier to the extent that Bryce is ever peppy. But, I think he's seeing it start to come. He's getting a little bit better results. He's still swinging through a lot of pitches, but I think he feels like he's right there. So, I think if you were to say what's wrong with Bryce, it's that he's missing pitches he should hit and still swinging at some pitches he shouldn't. But I think that the worst is over, and I think he thinks that too, which is probably, half the battle.
Do you think any of just watching Soto come up and just kill it from the beginning has put a little added pressure? Like this kid, this 19-year-old kid, wherever he is taking away a little of his shine. Do you think sort of subconsciously even that's factored in at all or no?
I don't know. Obviously Bryce would never say that, and I'm always nervous to sort of like delve into
right.
to his brain. But I think it's there. I think it's real
human.
Thing. That,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And in a year where there was already plenty of pressure, where he's already probably looking around and saying, wait a second, you guys are sort of planning for my departure. You see Robles, Soto, Eaton, all the, they don't need an outfielder next year, which doesn't mean they won't sign him, but I think he's just seeing it and saying, wait a second, you guys are sort of already planning to move on. So, there was that, and now there's, Juan Soto coming up and doing all the things Bryce Harper had been the youngest to do. you can't help but look around and say, whoa, you know, it's not the same as it used to be here. So I think that might be part of it, but he would never say so. And so I'm terrified to assume that that's, you know, a factor at all.
What is Max's demeanor like after the game? Man, he shows his competitiveness more than any player I've ever seen.
He's getting no run support. Two runs in his last four starts.
What's he like in the clubhouse after these games? I mean, does he show frustration, or, you know, when he pitches well, is he sort of okay with it?
I thought he would be really frustrated yesterday, and he was very diplomatic. You know, he said, we've all been there, we've all struggled, you know, it'll come. And I think he has to say that. He's pretty much the most vocal leader on this team. And, you know, he can't throw everybody under the bus, but I don't think he's okay with it. You know, he's not a guy who's like, you know, I did all right, and so I'm going to be fine tonight. You know, I think he's frustrated, but he has not shown that. And, you know, I think that's him understanding his role and not because he has somehow, you know, diminished competitiveness. You know, I think he's really frustrated. You couldn't not be, but he's, I think, realizing that if he sort of gets frustrated and throws people under the bus, you know, there's nobody there left to look to, because he's been the steadiest guy all year, and they need him to remain that both on the field and off, I think.
Chelsea, a lot of fans are upset at the continued base running blunders. Talk about what you saw just yesterday on the base pass where, you know, Bryce Harper didn't take advantage of a situation where a pitcher was moved to first base. And then you also had that double steal situation where Eaton and Harper maybe miscommunicated. What's going on?
It has been a lot, and I don't know what's going on. I think if you looked and said it was young guys, you would. It's everybody. You know, Eaton yesterday just kind of stopped, and Bryce had already kept going and had every reason to believe Eaton was going to go. You know, we've seen Taylor and Defoe and Harper and Turner and everybody do pretty dumb stuff, and it's weird. It's like, I think that people's minds jump straight to coaching and say, you know, what are they teaching them? Why aren't they correcting this? And it's like, in that moment, I don't necessarily think that the coaching has anything to do with it. It's sort of just like everybody is having these weird lapses. And I honestly think it's something that comes with urgency, that, you know, if you feel like every out really, really matters, that you're not going to do stuff like that, that you're going to be extra careful. And I don't know that they feel that way. I don't know that they should have felt that way in April and May, but I think there's going to come a time where they're going to have to feel that way, and it's coming sooner than they thought it would. And, you know, they're going to have to clean that stuff up, because they're not scoring, and you can't give away a rally like they did yesterday, or, you know, not move Harper, because that was a tying run. And so it's stuff they're going to have to clean up. And I think they're getting to a point where, you know, they're going to start feeling that and say, okay, wait, actually, this is very important that we don't give away these outs, because we're going to have to kind of scratch and claw for everything this year.
Chelsea, a Bush League move at the end of the game yesterday by Sergio Romo of the Rays, where he's yapping at Michael A. Taylor after striking him out to end the game. The bench is clear. It's nice to see Adam Eaton defending Taylor there. Dates back to Taylor stealing second in the sixth inning of an 11-2 win over Tampa earlier in June. Pretty petty move by him.
Yeah, it was pretty unreal. It was really surprising. I think, you know, on our end, we all know that the guy he felt disrespected him or whatever has not only never disrespected anybody on a field, he has barely acknowledged anybody on a field. So I think, you know, it was just kind of crazy. And, you know, I know Eaton was the only one who went out there. I think, you know, Martinez and Chip Hale were ready to, you know, kind of put Sergio Romo in his place, either verbally or whatever. But yeah, they were really frustrated with it, and I think they had a right to be. And it sort of just goes back to those unwritten rules of baseball that everyone seems to, you know, feel like are set in stone. And it's weird, and it was pretty dumb. But I think, you know, Taylor handled it really, really well, and nobody got hurt. And that's sort of, I guess, all that matters.
So at the end of the day, you're the expert here. You cover this team, and you have for years. You're there with them practically every day. Should fans panic? I mean, we know they're better than this. Is it starting to develop that sort of that feel of maybe it's just one of those years where, you know, I can't remember what years they are anymore. Was it 2016 or 40, whatever those years are, where for whatever reason, it just doesn't work.
So I think you can justify panicking because the only times this has ever happened where they haven't been in first and cruise in the last 5 years, they haven't made the playoffs. There's no history of them having a tough year and sort of grinding it out and getting there anyway. You know, 13 World Series or bust, it was never easy from the start, and they didn't make it. 15
right.
was the Matt Williams year, supposed to win the World Series. Where's my ring?
Right.
They had to grind it out, and they didn't make it. And this is that kind of year. There's no doubt about it. That does not mean that it can't end well. You know, it's different people. It's a different personality. I think there's a little bit more grit and veteran, you know, leadership in that clubhouse. But we haven't seen it yet. So, sure, you can look at it and say they've never done okay when this has happened. I just don't think that that means that this particular group, as constructed, as it gets healthy over the next month, can't turn it around.
If you had to bet on it, would you bet on them winning the division?
Poof. I don't know. I can't even say, to be honest with you. I think I would, only because I don't know that the Braves have the pitching. But you know, I think they're an injury. The Nats are an injury away from really having to fight for any playoff position at all at this point. You know, an injury to the rotation away from being in really bad shape.
Right. Hey, real quick, moving off the Nationals, I saw you tweeted about an incident on the plane. Why don't you fill us in? I guess you had an annoying person next to you. Fill us in real quick about that.
I mean, you know, it's 9 a.m. You're up early. You're not really interested in speaking. And I fell asleep, and a guy kept reaching over me, pulling my tray down, opening and shutting my window.
Why was he pulling your tray down?
To put his drinks on it.
That's like the douchiest move I've ever heard of.
Hold on, what was on his tray? Like a computer or something? I mean, what was going on there?
His phone.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was an experience and a half. I had headphones on, you know, that should have signaled, please do not speak to me.
Right.
And they did not. So it was one of the more absurd experiences of my life. And I think if I have ever had an anxiety attack, it was in the last few minutes of that flight when we were taxiing to the gate and he was talking about, you know, the price of drugs in various cities across the U.S.
Oh, nightmare.
I need to get out of here.
What a psycho. Oh, my God. All right. Well, you made it safely. Thank you, Chelsea. We appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay. That's Chelsea James, everybody.
I mean, that's
the
ultimate
Washington
nightmare.
Post.
Unless it's my family or you guys on a trip to, like, Florida, I don't want to talk to anybody on an airplane. I just want to sit down. I want to white knuckle it. And I want to watch.
You want to do your thing.
I want to watch Dunkirk on my
Everybody wants to do their thing. Of course.
The last thing I would ever want to do is talk to a stranger on an airplane.
All right, we're going to play Missing Link here.
Okay, good.
Missing Link often is a game where people struggle. Mm-hmm. They're not going to challenge a junkie. We're going to give them, is 5 seconds fair? 5 seconds on the clock. If they don't get it, we move on to the next contestant with the same missing link
okay.
until somebody noodles the answer.
Got it.
We have tickets to go see Nicki Minaj in Future, Capital One Arena. We also have tickets to MLB All-Star Fan Fest. So let's just get with it, and we'll see if this lasts too long or not. Valdez came up with one. You know, this is for you guys.
Okay.
Because this one's
this
too
is
hard.
A silly.
This is an example.
It's too hard.
Very difficult.
Well,
it's a softball.
We did talk about it earlier in the show.
Oh, well, then we should get it.
Crab, because he's big on crabs.
Loves crabs.
Crab, blank, putter. Can you figure out the missing link?
Mallet.
Yes.
I mean, that's like taking candy from a baby. That one's butt easy.
All right, but you knew the context, and we had talked about it earlier in the show.
I did, but I think even without that, I would have pulled it in a few seconds.
My instinct was claw, because I was thinking the claw grip. But
it's
I
not bad.
That would have been acceptable.
Is there such a thing as a cake putter? Crab cake putter? Probably not.
Never heard of a cake putter.
Not that I know of. I know that cakes is a bad putter.
A cake's putter usually misses it 5 feet to the left.
Yeah, I'm just so bad.
Does he pull everything?
I just block, pull, whatever's not near the hole, that's what I generally do.
Well, the second to last hole yesterday, or not Monday,
mm-hmm.
Cakes went to go hit the putt. It was the eagle putt that Pete Medher sank.
Yeah.
And so Cakes lines up his putt, takes the putter head back, and then just stubs it right into the ground like he was hitting a chip shot.
Yeah. Right.
Big old divot in the green.
And then he
walked up, picked up his ball, and said, I'm not ending on that.
Yeah.
And then put it back down and then missed it 10 feet to the left.
Yeah, I blew it way past the hole. That's what I do.
Cakesy. Or Cakesy.
Golf's, you know what? Golf's just not for me. It's just not my thing.
You're just fine. You know what? You're a runner. Believe it or not, you're a runner. You had the gift of running.
I guess.
Farley had you going. You had that silly ticker for it.
Yeah.
You were like at a sub three. You were under a 3 hour pace or something like that. What was it? Four hour. What was
the marathon?
Years ago when you were training with.
He ran a 3:34, right?
It was more than that. It was like 3:45 or something.
It's pretty
something
good for your time.
I thought you ran
cramped 3:34.
I'm telling you, don't sleep yourself.
No. Double check it. It's not that silly.
Mine was 3:38.
You had a pace.
I thought you went faster than me.
You had a pace though that was silly, and then you cramped up, or you kind of fell apart at the end.
I had a foot issue about halfway through the race.
Dude. They tell you,
I play golf. I have a foot issue.
Yeah,
I had issues for like 13 miles out of the marathon.
I get blisters on my pinky toes. I don't know how to get rid of them.
And I ate Vaseline at I think the 22 mile mark because I thought it was like some sort of like energy gel on the end of a tongue depressor.
And it was straight Vaseline.
And I grabbed it and stuck it in my mouth. And Chris Farley, proprietor of Pacers Running Stores, was about 10 feet behind me. He was going, "No, that's Vaseline, stupid!" And it was too late at that point.
All right, let's go. Let me see here. Let's go to Dan in Reston. Hey, Dan, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, morning, guys.
How are you, pal?
I'm going to give a general clue for all of the missing links that I've come up with. Basically, all of them have been in the news in the last day or two.
Okay. Current events.
Yes. All right. Can you figure out the missing link? 5 seconds on the clock. Troy blank. Bag.
Troy.
Troy.
5 seconds are up, sir.
Is there
Sorry.
A theme to these?
They're in the news.
Just in the news.
Or we've talked about them recently. Or maybe they've been on the show.
Who is Troy Bookbag? Who is that person?
It's not. Let's go to the next
contestant. Who's Troy Bookbag? I don't know that person.
Let's go, Mike.
I got it. I know it.
Yeah, of course.
Mike and Bristow always finds a way to get in. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys.
5 seconds. Troy blank bag.
Brown.
Troy Brown bag.
That's a winner. You get a pair of tickets to the MLB All-Star Fan Fest coming to the Walter E. Washington Convention Center July 13th through the 17th. Tickets are on sale now through MLB.com. But you're going to win your way in all week long with 106.7 The Fan. Get your details at thefandc.com/contest.
You know I thought it realized? Was fair to drop the junior. Now, he is Troy Brown Jr.
Yeah,
he was on
fine.
The show yesterday.
Yeah.
Wizards first-round draft choice. But you were talking about the theme. Somebody who was on the show, somebody in the news recently.
Look, you have full-on creative license to do that on a Game Show Wednesday. Brought to you by MGM National Harbor.
You know what I've realized is that the prize pigs are prize pigs for a reason. They're good.
Yeah. Right.
They're good at the games.
Yeah, they may not be good at their jobs. Like
right.
Mike the Banker, I don't know how good he is at banking, but at playing games here on The Fan, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty who's good. Up next?
He may give you terrible rates at the bank.
Right.
I don't know.
All right, let's go to David in Poolsville. David, what's up?
Doing good, guys.
All right, David, 5 seconds on the clock. Missing link. David blank line. David blank line.
Goal line.
Who's David Goal?
David Snowline.
David blank line.
Let's punch up the next contestant, Cakes.
Missing link.
You can still think it, but don't say it out loud.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking out loud. David blank line.
Bernard, DC, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, same on? One what's for you. On? 5 seconds on the clock. You can talk out loud, noodle it. David blank line.
David blank line. David Timeline.
Getting closer, but I don't know who David Time
not
is.
Not a terrible guess.
Go to Ernest Stafford. Ernest, what's up?
What's going on?
What's up, Ernest?
Same one for you.
David Blank Line.
David. Over.
David
Overline.
Overline.
I don't know what
Overline is.
I don't know what any of those are.
What that is.
I guess if you go over the line,
over the
like
line,
a gambling David, thing.
Let's go to Devin in D.C. Devin, what's up?
Does Drab know this one?
Hey, John.
No, I changed it.
You did?
I changed it using the same David, but I asked him what goes with. I'll give you the clue afterwards.
I'm trying to cheat off the paper like I did back in high school.
Right. Devin, 5 seconds on the clock. Same one. David blank line.
David Johnson line?
What is the Johnson line? I'll give a clue. Think baseball and think Fortnite. In the news, talking about both things.
All right. Let's go to Rich in
think
Olney.
Think of Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
David Justice line? I don't know.
Think Captain Kirk used to promote. I'm going to tell
you. Oh, I know. Okay. Now I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. It's a tough one.
That was a tough one. I would be here all day trying to get that one.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. So now I'm going to be more clues.
For you, buddy.
How you doing?
Hey.
What's up, David?
I'm going to go David Priceline.
Yes.
He's a winner.
Does that David even Price. Still exist anymore? Priceline?
Yeah.
David Price in the news because at one point he said, well, first of all, I think he missed a start because he had carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yep.
And they said it was because he video games a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he might want to miss the All-Star game so he could play Fortnite. Now, he was kind of joking about right. it, but that's why he's in the news.
Chris,
so.
You're a winner. You get a pair of tickets to see Nicki Minaj and Future live in concert September 23rd at Capital One Arena. Tickets on sale now through LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster, and the Capital One Arena box office. But you can win your way in with 106.7 The Fan. Again, get your details at thefandc.com/contest.
All right, I think the next two are easier. Let's see who's up. 800-636-1067.
Do we have any more prizes?
In. Yes,
we do.
We have two pair of each today.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Jay, DC. Jay, what's up?
What's happening?
All right, hey, Jay. 5 seconds on the clock. Missing link. Genie blank driver.
Mini?
Who's Genie Mini?
Again, same throws people.
Yes. There is a Mini driver, but there's not a Genie Mini.
Genie.
Sorry. Let's punch up the next contestant.
Dave Stafford.
Dave.
What's going on?
Five seconds on the clock. Genie blank driver.
God. Genie Long?
Long driver?
No. Who is Genie Baby Driver? Baby Driver is such a good movie.
I don't know who that Genie Baby.
I don't know who that person is.
Who's up next?
D. Centerville.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, buddy.
5 seconds on the clock. Go.
Genie Drunk Driver.
Getting closer, but no.
Incorrect.
I don't know who Genie Drunk is.
Delonte Laurel. People love this dumb game.
Who's Genie Fast?
Or they just love prizes.
You can't figure it out?
I honestly, I'm stuck. I'm in the tunnel here.
All right, who's up?
Delonte.
Right,
Delonte, what's up, brother?
Genie
line driver?
No. Man, I would think that, honestly, if you just did blank driver, I think it would come up. But if you just think blank driver, drop the genie when you're noodling it, you would probably come up with the answer.
I don't know that I would.
All right, and how many famous genies are there in sports?
Oh, now I got it.
Oh, now.
See?
Now I got
Who's
it.
Who's up next?
Thomas. Thomas for you.
Hey, guys. How you guys? Self-driver?
What'd he say?
Self.
Self-driver?
Genie
self?
No.
No.
It's good.
If you can tell me who Genie Self was.
Yeah, I don't know.
John,
again,
DC.
In the news.
Maybe related to Bill Self.
Yes.
Adam?
Adam Driver.
Genie. I like where you're going with it, but that's a no.
Thought this one was the easy one.
Yeah.
Guess not.
Let's go to Keith
Laurel. Playing Missing Link. 5 seconds for you, Keith. Genie
I
blank
you know
driver.
I guarantee you Keith gets it because he's a prize pig and they're all good.
Yeah.
Keith.
Genie Broussard, Sports Illustrated.
What? He doesn't understand the game.
No.
Doesn't understand it. Doesn't get the concept.
No, I just don't think he got. I just don't think he knew the answers he was trying to.
Should I give a clue?
Sure.
No, you gave enough clues. The next person's gonna get it.
Did I say NBA?
No,
that's a clue.
Will,
it's vague, but it's a clue. Will Genie Blake right. Driver.
Golf.
Golf driver. You know what? Her Q rating is so
low. She's not. This person is not that famous.
We're geeky, and so we know who she is. They don't know who she is.
Yeah.
But they could just focus on the driver part, maybe. Like, think about a yellow driver.
That's what I just said. Just go blank driver.
Here's another clue.
I didn't know there were so many drivers.
Here's another
out
clue.
There.
Phil Jackson made $50,000 today.
Right.
There's your clue.
But also geeky. You need to know sports.
Okay.
I mean, this is a sports show.
It's a clue.
All right, who's up?
All right, let's go TJ in Fairfax. TJ, what's up?
Genie, taxi driver.
I mean, oh again, though, I don't mind it because at least taxi driver works.
Yeah, I mean, you're very close to the ballpark right. at this point.
Kevin. It's yellow. Cakes. Kevin, genie Hello? Blank driver.
Bus.
Yes, there Genie you go. Bus. Do you happen to know who Genie Bus is, Kevin? You don't need to, but I'm just curious.
No.
You said, oh, yeah, yeah, the Lakers GM or,
there
you
go. She's the owner of the Thunder, Lakers.
So. All right, you're a winner.
You, Jerry Bus.
You yeah, get a you pair of it. Tickets to go see Nicki Minaj and Future. Congrats to you, sir.
Enjoy the show.
All right, they got him on hold.
We're not doing another one.
It's just torture.
We don't have time.
So it's
we'll
torture.
We'll just take the 10th caller.
Yeah, 10th
800-636-1067.
Which is
Clear
easier.
Out the lines.
Much easier.
Take the 10th caller. I thought this one would be easy. It was Paul Blank Straight.
Paul.
George.
George Straight.
Ah,
there you
good
go.
One. Good one, Valdez.
Also in the news.
Didn't know you're such a country agent. Fan over there, Rick.
And joining us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotline is Will Brinson, CBS Sports Senior NFL Writer. Good morning, Will.
What's up, guys? Hope you're doing well.
Hello, Will. Did I see on your Twitter, I think it was in the past week, that you had a weird experience on a flight? We just had Chelsea Janes, the beat reporter for the Washington Nationals, on, and she said that like she had her headphones on, she was minding her own business, and some guy was just like messing with her seat tray and reaching over her to like open the window. I mean, it was just a disaster. Didn't you have a deal where somebody came on the flight and was like grilling somebody because their kid wouldn't behave, and then she spent the rest of the flight of the flight just basically showing the guy next to her like pictures of her kid on his phone? Is like the worst bit ever.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sorry Chelsea had to fly with Pete Prisco. That's big.
good joke. I like it.
Yeah. Pete will actually, if you recline your seat in front of Pete, he'll kick your seat until you slide it back out, which is my favorite thing about him in the world. So I was on a flight to Dallas on last Friday, and I have a 4-year-old son, and we recently took him traveling on an airplane for the first time. So I'm cognizant that, you know, I've become awakened to the idea that if you travel with a kid, everyone else is annoyed, but more importantly, you are shamed and humiliated the entire time you're on the flight, even if he makes a peep. So this couple next to me had a 2-year-old, I guess, and the kid was screaming, and the lady in front of us kept turning around and making these nasty looks as the kid was screaming. They finally get him calmed down. She never puts on earphones, not once during the entire flight, and spends the whole time talking to the dude next to her. She's in the middle seat, he's in the window, and then like as we're deplaning, she's like shoving these pictures of her kid in his face. She's got kids, and she's like looking at this other mom who's being, you know, shamed by the screaming child as if she can do anything about a screaming 2-year-old. It's unbelievable. People are the worst.
People are the worst. You know what? That's why you have to keep air travel to an absolute minimum. You just do.
Yes.
All right, so I guess we got to talk some football with you, huh?
We can go about airlines. I mean, I can rant about the fact that American Airlines has 9 boarding groups, or we could just complain about people who hoard around the door as it like the it's like your group 6, just sit in a seat, pal. Wait 5 minutes. Like, you're not right. going to get your checked bag on there, right? You lost.
I agree with you totally there. But you know what? A couple of the guys on the show are culprits of that stuff. They want to be early on the plane.
No, I get.
I don't give a rat's ass what group I'm in.
No. If I fly Southwest, I have to get early bird check in. I have to.
I hate Southwest.
I can't be C-35 to board the plane.
Why?
Sorry, I just can't.
Why?
Because you run out of room. I like to pick my seat. I don't like to have it dictated to me. That's all. It's just a personal preference. Sorry,
C-35 gives me 24 to 48 hours of anxiety if I land C-35.
Yes, right. Of course it does. Why wouldn't it?
All right. Will Brinson, of course, CBS Sports Senior NFL Writer. Let's talk about this crazy Janoris Jenkins story. Is there any update there? Apparently, Janoris Jenkins wasn't at his home when they discovered this dead body.
Yeah, this is wild. I'm not comparing the two in any way, shape, or form, but just very, very bizarrely, Aaron Hernandez was arrested on my birthday, And yesterday was my birthday. And like, this is two times that a dead body's been found in an NFL, like, within the vicinity of an NFL player's home on my birthday in the past, like, 10 years. It's very weird. Michael Vick's birthday, too, and Chad Pennington as well. But the Jenkins thing, I mean, obviously tragic. You know, there's a dead man at Janoris Jenkins' home. And from what I gather, based on what, you know, has been reported and is out there, and I don't think there are a lot of updates yet, but it seems like law enforcement has determined that members of Janoris's family were staying with him, as was this guy who died, and it's being treated as a homicide, which, you know, when you don't want to jump to any conclusions in a case like this. Clearly it's good, at least for Jenkins, from, you know, his personal perspective, that he's, you know, in his own, you know, innocence or whatever it is, that he's not at the house. I mean, that, you know, I think that's, if you're looking at it from a, you know, from a strict NFL news standpoint, I mean, that's pretty big for him, I would presume. But obviously something went awry at this house, and it sounds like there were potential family members there and the man who ended up being deceased. So it certainly sounds like this is going to take over NFL discussions for, I mean, what I would guess is the next, you know, the month leading up, you know, in the space between now and training camp. And that if police are indeed investing a homicide in New Jersey, you know, there's potential for this to become, you know, pretty, and it's obviously very ugly already, but to become even uglier depending on how things play out.
What's going on with the Julian Edelman story? I'm not quite sure I understand what his defense is.
I think this has kind of become a standard protocol for anybody suspended for PEDs, mm-hmm. is you say, you either do, so like Thomas Davis got suspended, he's like, I can't believe this supplement I've been taking for 20 years has stuff in it that's illegal. You know, you say something like that, and I'll buy it. What, I mean, whatever. Or, right. You know, maybe, but I mean, I don't care either way. But you either say that, or you say that the sample was mishandled. And when you start doing that, you can actually get into a position, if you're Edelman, where you can end up winning the appeal, you know, by for whatever reason, I was thinking he might not be appealing. But, I mean, you can, like, Von Miller was in that situation as well, and he claimed it was mishandled. And there's all kinds of red tape that deals with this. So I think that's what he's going for. At the end of the day, it might not matter, and he might just be facing four games, because this whole process can get weird. It can go to arbitration. Wouldn't be the first time that we've seen a Patriots player in the news fighting the NFL in a court-style situation. But I would think with the clear-cut nature of the PED issue that it will be pretty tough for him to you know, completely overturn this.
Didn't Edelman claim this is like the first time he's ever tested positive? But isn't that not true, because the first time is always like kept under wraps? You kind of get like a free first strike, or is that not correct?
No, I think that's substance abuse. I don't think you get a free first wrap for PEDs.
For PEDs, you do not. Okay, gotcha.
No. They're not like, oh, that's cool, this is your first time taking steroids, don't worry about it, man.
Right.
No, I think with the PEDs, it's the thing you're supposed to keep under wraps is the actual positive test until you go through the appeal process. But I mean, that never happens. You know, like,
right.
It depends on the team, it depends on the player, it depends on the situation as to when it gets leaked out. And when this, you know, even like the Jameis Winston stuff, which is not PED, but certainly, you know, the NFL hasn't announced a suspension, which means the investigation is still, this stuff, you can always sort of, you know, gauge where the wind is blowing depending on where the leak comes out and in the process. But yeah, I mean, I think for Edelman, it may very well be the first time he's tested positive. For Thomas Davis, it was too. But you know, it doesn't, you know, for the NFL, it doesn't matter. Like, you got popped for roids or performance enhancing drugs. Excuse me.
We're joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. Jameis Winston in the spotlight for the wrong reason again, for alleged sexual abuse of an Uber driver. My take on him is that he's football smart, life stupid. What do the Bucs do with him going forward? Look, he's the number one overall draft pick. He's your quarterback. He's the face of the franchise. I just don't know what the Bucs do with him at this point.
It's really complex. Interesting note on this too, by the way. So I have a daily NFL podcast that's up by 6 a.m. every day. It's called the Pick 6 Podcast. Highly recommend anybody who likes good football chatter. It's literally Monday through Friday. I mean, yeah, if you get done listening to y'all's radio show, they can listen to it.
Nice.
You gotta have something in the afternoon to fill the void But now I'm going to insult Grant Danny or Dukes. But you got time to listen to stuff, okay? I mean, if you listen to radio at 9:30 in the morning, you got time to listen to my podcast.
Hey, you're out for a run, let's say, something like that.
Yeah, a run. Yeah. Who doesn't want to hear my voice in your ear?
Look at Will knowing the entire lineup in order, by the way. Props on that. Those junks, Grant and Danny.
Pretty impressive.
Chad Dukes. We're
impressive, Will.
Hey, I'm a big fan. I am a big fan of all y'all's work, and I enjoy coming on the shows.
Thank you, buddy.
But Brian McFadden was on there on Tuesday, and he was actually on the Steelers in 2010 when Ben Roethlisberger was suspended 4 games for a similar sort of thing in terms of what he was suspended for, alleged sexual assault, the personal conduct policy, all that. And he has a really good take on it. And for me, I think that the Buccaneers, when it comes to working out Jameis's contract, I think you just have to punt on this offseason, obviously. And I think if you're Buccaneers ownership, what you want to see is, okay, because Jason Light, the GM, and Dirk Cutter, the head coach, were already on the hot seat coming into this year. They needed a good year. They probably need a playoff berth to save jobs. Certainly, I think if Dirk Cutter misses the playoffs, he's gone. If they start 0-4, even without Jameis, he could be gone. They have a week 5 bye, so that's kind of dicey there. But I think what has to happen is, you go through this season, you see what happens with the suspension. It could end up being 6 games. I mean, let's not rule that out. Three's been leaked, but that's not definite by any stretch. You see what happens with the suspension. You see how Jameis plays. And then you see how the team does as a whole. Because if you're going to make changes with the front office and with the head coaching staff, then you need to reboot that whole process before you ever make a decision on the quarterback. You can't sign this quarterback to any sort of contract, especially one who, by the way, has the 3 biggest red flags possible for a franchise quarterback: personal conduct policy, suspension, potentially one that could fall under DV, and if it does, if it's the 6 games, then the next time he could be banned, shoulder issues, and poor play last year in a season where he's playing as a young guy. So I think if you're the Bucs, what you want to do is see how the season plays out and then examine it. But I mean, right now you can't give him $20 million a year. No. You just can't do it with what he's facing.
Well, I can't let you leave here without kind of get your take on the Redskins. You know, we've done this show for 22 years, and I'd say probably for the first 15 of them, I would always be sort of wildly optimistic for the Redskins, still in denial, still going back to the 80s and thinking that we were a heritage franchise that would always compete for championships. Obviously, that's not been the case for 20-some years, but I was still delusional, I'd say, for the first 15 years or so of doing this show. So we went through the schedule, I don't know, maybe twice since the last season, just for giggles, because it's kind of funny. And I got him at 6 wins, and yet here I find myself getting wildly optimistic because I love the Payne pick. I love the Darius Geis pick. The Alex Smith thing is really growing on me. Is there any reason for optimism for Skins fans, or is it really as bad as maybe I thought it was going to be a few months ago?
No, I'm really bullish on the Redskins this year. Yeah, actually, Ryan Kerrigan, who really delightful interview, great guy.
Yeah,
I had him on my
guy.
Podcast. Yeah, he's awesome. 2 weeks ago, if he's listening, thanks for coming on, Ryan. And I think when you look at the schedule right now, and this is why schedules in June are dumb. The schedule is really hard. Like, the Redskins got completely hosed by the scheduling gods too. Though, I mean, they have 4 of their last 6 games are on the road. Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Jaguars, Titans, Eagles. And that's brutal. Now, the Eagles might come back to earth a little bit if Carson Wentz doesn't recover from his ACL perfectly, or Nick Foles loses the rabbit. But I can't imagine a situation where the Jaguars are bad. I think the Titans are going to be pretty good. The Giants could stink. That's possible. Cowboys could stink. My thing with the Redskins is they were either first or second in Football Outsiders' adjusted games loss metric, which basically means who got screwed the most by injuries? And the Redskins did. And I asked Jay Gruden at the owners' meetings, like, hey, have you ever seen anything like what you saw on the offensive line? He's like, no, it's unbelievable. Literally, everybody in the offensive line is just right. Going down. And I think when you look at the offense, you have a really good offensive line. If the line stays healthy, it will protect Alex Smith. Alex Smith gives you a high, we're sleeping on just how high his floor is. For the Chiefs, he was getting them 8 to 10 wins a year guaranteed because of his steady play at the quarterback position. I think Josh Doctson is a guy to watch out for to make a leap in his I believe it's his third year. Jamison Crowder's in a contract season and is an a perfect complement for what Alex Smith does in terms of being able to take short crossing routes and break them off on the big runs. I think he has a nice year. You know, Jordan Reed being healthy, Grant Paulson was on my show as well and pointed out that Jordan Reed might be the X factor because the Skins offense explodes when he's healthy. They need him to be healthy. I think the defense is sort of a sleeping giant. You know, the maybe questions about the secondary, but up front they've got Kerrigan. You know, they have Deshaun. Now I'm drawing a blank on the draft picks, but they have Jonathan Allen.
Deron Payne and Allen.
Yeah, Deron Payne and Allen. And if you look at their defense last year, for the first five games when Allen played,
right,
it was a top 5 or 10 run defense,
yep,
and it fell off the cliff.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think Geis is a bell cow. I think the Geis-Chris Thompson combo.
You're on the Geis train too? I'm on that train.
Oh, I'm on the Geis train. I'm drafting. We do fantasy mock drafts with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard all offseason.
Yeah.
I've taken Darius Geis in every single draft, and Jamie's so annoyed by it.
Well,
I'm all in on
him?
Darius.
What round are you taking him, Will?
Fourth round.
Wow. I like it.
I bet he goes third round by the time the season comes around because he's going to look good in training camp.
Yeah.
They're going to give him the rock behind a really good offensive line. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I think he will provide more value from an NFL draft and a fantasy draft perspective than Saquon Barkley does. So you've got to take with a top 10 pick. And I don't think it would be stunning given the offensive lines, given sort of the where these teams could be playing from if he had more rushing yards than Saquon Barkley.
What?
Is it going to be that crazy?
I like it. I don't think I'm as bullish on him as you are, but you're kind of getting me on the train.
I like it. And what I also like is you think the Cowboys could be better. We're just assuming that everybody else in the division got better too, but you're not necessarily assuming that.
Right. I mean, the Cowboys could stink. The Cowboys could be terrible. Like I got to interview Dak Prescott last week for something, but I buy into Dak. I'll buy shares on Dak. And I think that Allen Hurns could end up being pretty good and Michael Gallup could be good. They just don't have the weapons on offense. And if that offensive line doesn't get back to where it was in 2016, then their offense isn't going to be great. I mean, Zeke Elliott's tremendous, but they need that offensive line to be clicking. So what if they're the team that suffers offensive line injuries this year? And then all of a sudden it's cascading and they're just not good on offense. They'll be a terrible team. The Giants, have you seen the Giants schedule? The Giants are toast. I mean, they might start 0-8. I'm not kidding. If you look at what they have to deal with out of the gate, it's Jaguars at home in a Tom Coughlin revenge game, at the Cowboys, at the Texans, Saints at home, at the Panthers, Eagles, at the Falcons, and then the Redskins before their week 9 bye. I mean, they might be out of the playoff race by week 9 if they don't come out of the gates with the offensive line going and Saquon Barkley changing things for them. So I think they're still up in the air. And then the Eagles, you know, look, they're loaded. But when you start to really break down the Eagles roster and you start to look at a lot of key components of their roster, they're battling some serious injuries. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey's having the shoulder surgery. Timmy Jernigan is now having like back surgery, 300-pound guy, you know, on the defensive line. That's a concern. They've battled injuries. Jason Peters is coming back from Achilles tear. Carson Wentz is coming back from ACL tear. I mean, those are the sort of injuries where when you add them all up, and you realize that maybe the Eagles might not get off to a fast start. I mean, look, the Redskins, I think the Redskins are the best value in Vegas for a team that could win its division at, like, I think it's like 6-1 or
hey,
something.
Hey, Will,
like
I'm going to play your new theme music.
I like it. He's getting me fired up.
That'll change after week 3.
I didn't expect that.
Look at that from Will Brinson.
I'm the biggest Skins fan here. That's music to my ears. I love it.
I will always love having you on.
I don't think I honestly expected it from me either.
Right.
You can check out his Pick 6 podcast and, of course, check out his work on CBSSports.com. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You too, man. Will.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.